from the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz. I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
Powered by Air Transat.
Let me read you this headline real quick. This is a story out of Buckingham, Michigan, not too far from here. Community pool closed because someone kept pooping in it.
What?
Community pool closed because someone kept pooping in it.
Ah, gross. Well, yeah, I gotta be so dirty in Michigan. Come on now.
So the Buckingham, Michigan Recreational Association has a public service announcement for its visitors. Stop pooping in its pool.
That is so gross.
In a notice that they sent out late last week, the association said that the community pool had to be closed because, quote, someone has been defecating in the pool, and yes, they believe it was on purpose.
Well, duh.
Due to the frequency over the past week, we believe this is intentional, the statement read.
Like, what's the frequency? Like, once a day?
I would say, like, multiple times a week, maybe.
Like, I guess even once a week.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just kind of curious. Because, they would have to drain. Do they have to drain the pool?
I think so. I would think you have to drain it. Or you just, like, you pull out the turd and then just kill it with chemicals and just wait for everything to sort of die down.
That's a big process, though.
Yeah. Let me finish this here. So serial pooping have plagued Michigan communities in the past. In 2014, a local police department made contact with an individual who had been pooping on public park slides.
Oh my God, that's so gross. Oh God, I can't even think. You know, we take our kid to the park almost every single day.
Yeah, yeah.
And he loves going down the slide.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, that's so gross. I don't even want to know.
To lock down any chance of more feces showing up in its pool, the recreation group said that it has hired, and I swear to God I'm reading this verbatim, no joke.
Okay.
They have hired a second pool attendant who will oversee duties at the pool. No joke.
Imagine that's your job?
No joke.
That you're on poop duty.
Yeah. Could you believe that? Right? That's just awful. Like, what kind of terrible person does that?
I know.
Like, you have to really hate a lot of things in life.
And have to be extremely bored with your own life.
You have to be like an angry, or you just sit there. Maybe it's like the Joker. You know what I mean? Where they just want to watch the world burn. Like, they just go into the community pool, turd, and then just sit quietly on a lounger and watch people freak out.
That's like their calling card.
Right? You know what
I mean? Signature calling card.
Yeah. Like, you know how the Joker really didn't have a purpose? Like, he was just an anarchist, like a nihilist, right? And he just didn't have any real motive. He just wanted to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what this is.
It was just to cause chaos.
Yeah, just chaos. That's all it is. Maybe that's what this guy does. Maybe he just slips in, lets one go, and then slinks out and just sits there and watches the chaos unfold. Ugh. And is just happy about it.
And maybe times it to see how long it's going to take somebody to find it. That's so gross. Oh, gross.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Can I read to you some more podcast reviews?
Please.
That we've received through Apple Podcasts. By the way, you can leave a rating and or review. Ashley Elizabeth, 72, subject line, another reason I look forward to Fridays, because that's when we release our podcast. Also, we release podcasts now on Mondays, so there you go, 5 stars here. I cannot say enough good things about this podcast. I am a new first-time mother. My baby is 3 months old at the moment, so first of all, congratulations. And I seriously rely on the podcast to help get me through the sleepless nights / days. You guys make me laugh so loud, I sometimes wake my daughter up.
No.
Thank you. Just doesn't seem to be enough. JCore231, subject line, I can't breathe. Five stars as well. Had to pause today's new podcast as I am literally laughing so hard at Roz's reaction to the fact that Mocha is going to have two greasy boys. LOL. And now the campaign for Craig.
Oh, that's right. No. I forgot about that.
We're not naming our newborn son.
Well, Craig. You got time.
Keep doing what you guys do. I absolutely love you. My daughters love Fridays on the radio because they like to shout, "It's Friday!" But I love the podcast too. Nay Panic writes, subject line, "The best podcast." Five stars as well. My sister suggested I listen to the Roz and Mocha podcast, and it was the best thing I did in a long time. They have gotten me through my toughest days. They are funny and knowledgeable and helps you with even the toughest challenges life faces you with. You guys are the best. I only wish that the podcasts were longer. Mr. Vile 001. Who the ... gave us five stars, which is amazing, and writes this. Wow, these clowns are amazing. Oh. Glad I found you guys.
That's great. Thanks, I guess.
Carolina Butt Cheeks.
Come on.
Swear. Carolina Butt Cheeks writes, best thing I ever had. Five stars as well. Absolutely love this show. It gets me through my super boring commute to work. I laugh so much. Other drivers must think I am nuts. Love them both. But Roz is 100% the male version of myself.
Oh.
Wish I found him sooner.
You sound hot.
Keep up the amazing work you do. Listen, man, with a name like Carolina Butt Cheeks?
Yeah.
Maybe.
So
leave your rating and or review on Apple Podcasts, and maybe we'll read it on a future episode. I want to play something for you that started getting traction over the weekend on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then I did some digging and found out that this is actually 3 years old and from YouTube has 3.5 million views.
Okay.
But it's a guy doing gospel backup to the Golden Girls theme song.
Okay.
So it's the theme song playing and this guy is every now and then jumping in on the song and doing his over the top, very beautiful gospel style singing.
It's a beautiful song.
Thank you for being brave.
That's really good.
That is how you do a theme song. Yes,
that's
Maury. Really
with all due good. Respect, that's not a true fan. This guy just obviously did it for the attention.
Like everything you do in life.
Be that as it may.
Be that is the truth.
No, but be that as it may, that's also why.
You're calling somebody out for doing something for attention.
Shocking, isn't it? This guy clearly is not a Golden Girls fan.
How do you figure?
Because, like, he just wanted to get the attention. He just did a gospel thing. Anybody could do a
Pause
gospel
a
thing to anything.
Are you trolling right now because you want to sing?
Ergo, I want to sing.
Oh, God. Why did we have to go through the whole thing then if you just wanted to sing?
All you had to do is walk in here and be like, hey, guys, that sounded great. Yeah. I'd like to try my own version.
Yeah, you didn't have to come up with a theory.
Yeah. Obviously, he's not a big fan.
Obviously, this guy is only doing it for the attention, obviously. And then meanwhile, Maury's like, please just ask me to sing. Please just ask me to sing. So, Maury, I have no problem with you singing, but you can't come in here like that, man.
But I thought I always have to be prepared with a defense.
No, but you just can't come in here and talk crap about somebody who does the exact thing that you're about to do.
Yeah, you ready for it?
Sure.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and all the way back again. It's so true. A confidant, a true friend. From me, a really big gift. And
That's how a friend, like a true fan would do that.
It sounded like you said a car attack.
A car attached to me.
Thank you.
Call somebody out for not being a fan. You don't even know the words.
I was trying to do it gospel style, okay. You know, where you sort of change and you add and you ad lib and you riff on it.
Mm-hmm. You need to go find more Jesus, man. Okay.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
That face app, aging yourself app, really took off yesterday, huh?
Sure did.
Ruined everybody's day.
I downloaded the app, took a picture, put the old guy face on myself.
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
No.
Deleted the app.
Yeah.
I had the app on my phone for like maybe 45 seconds.
Really? Because I've had the app on my phone for like forever and I just didn't, I never used it. I didn't know what it did. I just downloaded it one time because I needed it for something, I guess. I don't know.
It's not a new app. They just updated with this old feature.
Right.
So it's but like when everybody last month went crazy, or a month and a half ago went crazy over the Snapchat filters that made you look like, if you're a guy, make you look like a girl.
Yes.
Or if you're a girl, make you look like a guy.
But the AI on this for old people is just incredible.
Yeah.
Like at first when I started looking at them, I thought that people had like prosthetics on. And then so once you do yourself, then you start doing all your good looking friends, right?
Mm.
And you can run yourself through again and make yourself look even older.
That's what I was going to ask, yeah.
Oh, no,
I did,
can you really?
Yeah, I did Scott McGillivray because he thinks he's real good looking. And I sent it to him.
Did you?
Yeah, I sent it to him.
What did he say?
He wasn't happy about it. But then did his own later, so I'm like, okay, he's cool.
And I did everyone at my boot camp and now did, they're not talking to me.
I did, who else did I do? I did Jonathan Scott, the property brother.
Oh,
I sent it to him.
Yeah. What did he say?
Yeah, so I sent him mine.
Uh-huh.
And he told me that I look like a guy who just rambles on and on about his hatred for Justin Trudeau.
Nice hair, though.
And then I told him that he looks like a guy who's forever trying to win the love of his stepson because the kid was just a little too old when he married his mom.
Oh, damn! That's like specifically
but Jonathan Scott still looks really handsome. Like, look at this picture. Right? Like, that's Jonathan Scott, from the property brother with the aging filter on.
Yeah.
Like, still super handsome.
He could be...
Like, you put the aging filter on him, he looks 45.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody would offer him a modeling contract.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then that's me with the same filter.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Dude.
Like, how do I go from that and Jonathan Scott goes to that? Like, seriously. Like, I was so pissed. I put the aging filter. Look at this, Maury. I put the aging filter on Jonathan Scott, and it literally aged him like 4 years.
He looks like Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, like maybe 4 years. Maybe 4 years.
Let me see the one of you again.
Yeah. Oh, this one?
Holy cow,
yeah, dude.
Yeah, crusty.
It's not good.
Crusty,
yeah, it's not
old
good,
guy.
Right? It's not good. It's not good. I look like I have all the problems. Like I have liver problems.
Everything. Yeah.
I look like I live alone.
Most definitely.
Right? You know, all of a sudden I don't know how to use the remote.
What's wrong with this damn thing?
I'm no longer allowed to drive. Like all this stuff.
No wonder you're so grumpy.
But that app ruined everybody's day yesterday.
I did it at home and Matthew took it way too seriously.
Why? What did he say?
He was like, don't ever show me that again.
Oh, really? Oh, because you did him.
Because I did the two of us. Yeah, and he's like, that is not okay.
Why?
Because he took it like he's like very scared now. Like that's how he's going to look.
Yeah. And then I went through my phone and I just did every single picture of Maury that I had over and over again. And I didn't even do anything with them. I just did them and laughed. And then I found another one and just laughed.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
There's a an ice cream place, and I'm trying to figure out where this guy is. I think he might be down in California, but he's sort of the first to really take a stand against social media influencers.
Okay.
Because social media influencers want everything for free. So they reach out and they say, hey, I have 15,000 followers or 80,000 followers. How about you let me eat at your restaurant for free and I'll take a picture? Yeah. Or how about you let me, Maury's looking at me right now because he knows exactly what this is.
You don't do that, do you?
Of course he does.
Maury, that's the guiltiest look I've ever seen on your face.
Of course he does. Of course he does.
What was the last establishment that you reached out to, Maury?
The last establishment that I reached out to for free stuff would have been like, can I say? Because then they're getting a mention. They said no.
Did they say no?
Yeah.
What was your pitch?
Hey, look, I'm hungry and...
No, honestly, what was your pitch?
My pitch was, is that...
Did you text them or DM them?
DM them.
Okay, and what was your exact pitch? You didn't say, hey, I'm hungry.
No, I said, I absolutely love your restaurant and looking to do something for dinner. If you're at all interested, I'll post something if you want to take care of us.
Is that what you said? Is that your line, if you want to take care of us?
Yeah.
And did they reply or did they just ignore you?
No, they did no reply.
No reply at all.
Did it show that the message
is
seen? Oh, no.
But the funny thing is, I had a clothing company reach out to me saying, hey, we'd love to work with you. If you want 50% off, we'll give you 50% off if you give us mentions. I wrote back going, but I still have to pay.
Right. Yes, of course you do. So there's been a lot of studies and a lot of research into the actual power of influencers and whether it leads to the bump in recognition or sales that a lot of companies hope that it does. But there's a guy named Joe Nietzsche. He's the founder of CVT Soft Serve Ice Cream. And he said this: we truly don't care if you're an influencer or how many followers you have. We will never give you free ice cream in exchange for a post on your social media page.
Ooh,
it's literally a $4 item. Well, now it's $8 for you. Hashtag influencers are gross.
Oh, damn.
So much so that he turned that into a sign and put it in the window of his ice cream place. Because I can't even imagine the amount of people that don't even DM like Maury did, but actually just show up and say, hey, check my followers. How about you give me a thing and I'll take this
dirty.
Picture. That's dirty? That's dirty.
You can't show up
writing
and do
somebody,
that.
Hey, I'm hungry.
Yeah. How about you take care of us?
Yeah. Subject line, hungry and verified.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
Stunning beaches, beautiful landscapes. We're talking Cuba with Air Transat.
I've been to Cuba, I don't even know, like 4 or 5 times now. I always have a good time when I'm in Cuba. I really do. You have to do Cuba the right way, though. The right way for you, which is you're either going to go to one of the beautiful beaches or you get to do the trip into Havana and all that other stuff.
Ooh, that's me too, though.
The great thing is, depending on where you go in Cuba, you can do both. Cuba is one of those places where you can go and see an extremely gorgeous historical city like Havana, which is incredible, and take like one of those old cars there.
Yeah.
And by the end of the afternoon, you are back at the resort on the beach. It's the best of both worlds.
Air Transat flies to 6 destinations in Cuba: Varadero, Cayo Coco, Cayo Santa Maria, Hoguin, Cayo Largo, and Santiago de Cuba. To find your next vacation to Cuba, go to transat.com to book now.
All right, let's take a phone call.
Roz and Mocha, hello.
Congratulations, bro, on your new baby, man.
Hey, Fabian, what's going on, man?
Not much. How you guys been?
Good. New baby's not here yet, but November.
I know. I know, but still, you know.
Thank you, bro.
It's a new gift, you know what I mean?
I appreciate that. What's been going on? We haven't heard from you in a while.
I know, man. Just busy, bro. Plus, you know, my daughter's like, how come you never saw us at with the Raptors thing there when you guys were at the ceremony?
Oh, at the parade?
Right in, Raptors parade, yeah, Nathan Phillips Square.
Yeah, we were right in front of you at the bottom, and my daughter was screaming out your guys' name.
Oh, wow, dude. Oh, we didn't hear.
Obviously, how the hell are you going to hear through that, man? Yeah,
2 million people.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. We actually had a lot of people yelling out Roz and Mocha that day.
Absolutely. That's what I was saying to her. I'm like, yo, they're not going to hear us, man. I said, just chill out. I said, don't worry. You know, like they're celebrating with the rest of us. She goes, well, we're not leaving here until they say hi.
Oh, jeez.
I'm like, don't tell me you're still there.
No. And then when that stampede happened, obviously we had to run, you know?
Yeah. How was that for you? Okay.
Oh, it was scary. Just from where my daughter, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Roxy was there too. My kid was there too. It was scary.
But other than that, we had a blast, you know, and that was it. And just been busy and just wanted to say congratulations to both of
you. Oh, thank you. How's summer
doing? You know?
Summer's going good for you guys?
So far, so good. I didn't get the OVO hat, but it was good.
Oh, did you wait in line?
Oh, yeah.
The OVO hat that Mocha's wearing right now?
Absolutely. The one that he's wearing. The one that I messaged and said, hey, if you want one, I'm in line. I'll get you one.
Oh. So you asked Mocha if he wanted you to pick him up one. And
the OVO Raptors championship hat.
And then Mocha got one and didn't get one for you?
Mocha was like, I already have one, bro. And I'm like, okay, well, just thought, you know, I ask you because I know last time you were waiting for the Jordans and I was down at the Jordans pop-up store and I offered the same thing. So, you know what I mean?
Thank you. You're a good dude. Thank you.
For the fam, bro.
I appreciate that, Fabian. I appreciate that.
Dude, anytime, bro. You guys do so much for me.
I also had those Jordans, by the way, the ones that you were waiting on. I have them already.
Oh, my God. If you were wearing them today, it would be the best.
It would have been. But, you know, hey, you guys are like fam to me, bro. Like I said, you guys help me in so many ways, it's not even funny. So
it's my way to say
thank you. You know what I mean?
Much love to you, man.
Hey, same to you. You guys have a great day and keep doing what you do, man. We all love you, Darren. You know that.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Yes. Hey, Julia White is in the building!
What's good, ladies?
How are you, man?
How you doing, dog?
Good, man. Welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show. 50 Ways to Kill Your Mom is the new show debuting tonight at 9 on Vision TV. And what are you doing to your family, man?
Dog, it was a really opportune time for me to spend some quality time with my mom. And we did it in New Mexico. And listen, the stuff that they emailed me that they really wanted to do, you know, the stuff in deep waters, I had to nix it. I had to tell them, you don't need to be taking a black woman out here in this water like this. but we came up with some great stuff. She wasn't expecting any of this to happen.
So
it was just a great time.
The premise of the show is it's a celebrity each week on the show. They get together with a parent. Oftentimes it's their mom.
Yeah.
And you guys go and you do crazy stuff with your mom.
Well, just adrenaline pumping stuff.
Yes. But you get your moms out of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
And then you put them through just a little bit of hell.
Yeah, you get her out of the space of eating and giving you advice on your life.
Right.
That's what all of our relationships
are. Putting them into like an army vehicle going on bumpy terrain. I saw the episode. I don't even think she was wearing a seatbelt, that poor woman.
No.
You were, though. You were.
You were sitting in the front wearing a seatbelt.
I think the producers might have wanted it that way.
You're the one that's hard to insure, not her, right?
Y'all call.
But here's what I loved about it, though, is that because your mom was the momager in your life for all those years, right? When you, the whole time, Family Matters, Urkel, everything else.
Yeah.
And you talk so freely about how she sheltered you and protected you and was this wall for you, but not only to keep you safe from the business, the ugliness of show business, but also to make sure you're straight, to make sure you don't get into the roads, the paths that maybe you shouldn't go down being that famous at that young of an age.
Yeah, no, wow. Are you going to write her autobiography?
I'm telling you. Listen, man, I was taken by your mom.
Yeah.
She's got a big personality, man. You know, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree when it comes to all of us. And, you know, she went out of her way to definitely make sure that I was protected in this crazy business of ours.
Yeah.
Growing up the way you did in the industry and seeing how it's evolved and what it is now and how crazy it is and how it could get to people, have you had conversations with your daughter about show business? Is she showing any signs or asking you whether or not you would help guide her in that direction?
My daughter does nothing on cue.
So no.
My daughter reaffirms that women will do what they want, when they want, and how they want.
So she's your mother.
She is a version of my mother. Yeah. No, I'm not lying. My daughter is a version of my mother. Yeah. Yes.
But knowing, you know, like that you were this actor that grew up in that life, does she ever say, hey, Dad, like I think I may want to get into this at some point?
You know, I think we really need to all embrace the fact that the future is different. Mm-hmm. The future is female. And she loves YouTube, parkour. Managing the iPad time is a thing.
Yeah. How old is she?
She's turning 10.
My daughter's 9. And does social media terrify you?
It doesn't terrify me because I understand it.
But, geez, you got to see what goes on, though.
No, I know. But I'm just like, I'm a different kind of dad.
You got to teach different things. Nobody taught you. Your mom didn't teach you about social media.
Oh, yeah. Now my mom is like social media ignorant. I won't even follow her.
But you're doing something in your family that nobody else in your family has done, which is to navigate a kid through social media.
Yeah. No, right? And that's what I said. The future is different. Your kids are not going to do the things that you did. If anything, you brought up something where it's like, I've always wanted to tell the story of what it was like to be a child actor in the 90s. I think there's a one man's recollection about his past as a child actor would be a really cool story to tell, because it's all changed. Yeah. I mean, you got these kids now that have followers and Instagram, and you know everything is real time, and they're filming themselves, and you know you can. And when I was a kid, you were the last one to know you were famous.
When you were doing Urkel, it was fun because when you were young, because it was cute, right?
Yeah.
But when you started to get older in that role,
it got weird.
Urkel wasn't sexy, right? Urkel wasn't sexy.
They tried at one point in the season.
Well, Stefan was. It was different.
Stefan exactly. was.
And trust me, black folks make that distinction. So, you know, let me culture check you right now, brother. You know what I'm saying?
I'm like, I understand.
When I'm around all the white people with the glasses, they be like, oh, that's our guy. And then when I'm around the sisters, they be like, oh, girl, that's Stefan.
I'll be your Laura.
Let me go ahead, you know. They talk to you different depending on what side of the tracks you're on, man. They talk to you different.
Jaleel White is here on the Roz and Mocha Show. And speaking of Steve Urkel, the character that you played back in the day, I hear that you are now reprising that role, at least in voice.
Well, I was asked to do something that was cool and offbeat. I like doing things that are just, you know, just a little left of center. So I was asked to be a guest on Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
And right? And like Scooby used to solve all those crazy cases with like, you know, random people back in the day. You know, it'd be like the Harlem Globetrotters and Scooby would like find, you know.
Yes.
Find the
who was terrorizing the school at night.
Yes, the culprit, right? So, I was like, heck yeah. Like, it wasn't even like, it was the first time I was asked to do the character. There was just no hesitation at all.
Really?
And it was just like, yeah, I'll do that. And I hopped in a booth and it was like, voice just came out of me easy.
Could you like remember a line that you could deliver maybe
brother,
right now?
Brother, you got to watch the episode.
He's going to give it up there.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on. Got like one line. Jaleel, just one line.
Come on, man.
Bro, I watch that show like
you know the rules of engagement. Put the money on the bed first.
Yeah.
50 Ways to Kill Your Mom premieres tonight at 9 o'clock on Vision. And Jaleel, your episode will air on August 5th. Thank you very much for joining us on the Roz and Mocha Show.
What?
Maury, what?
How can we have Jaleel White in? How can we have Jaleel, and you're not even going to do your Urkel for Jaleel White? I'm not going to allow that not to happen.
Maybe it's not that good, and he didn't want you putting him on the spot like that. Oh my gosh.
Were you not listening to everything that happened just now, Maury?
Did you do it?
No, I did it, but did you not?
Maury, he's trying to keep it sexy.
Oh,
that's the vibe that happened.
Oh, Jaleel White, we apologize for that. Thank you for joining us on the Roz and Mocha Show. Oh, man.
I thought for sure Mocha was going to do it just then.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
All right, Anisha, we're going to try to fix your life.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, here we go. So you wrote us this, Roz and Mocha FML. My ex and I had been dating for 3 years, and my family and I got a puppy at the same time. My mom was never too fond of the puppy, and after a while, not too fond of my boyfriend.
Ooh, ouch.
I would drop my pup off at my boyfriend's house where he would help me look after him. 2 years later, I broke up with my boyfriend, but I didn't want to lose my dog, so he was cool with me visiting whenever. Fast forward, I'm now dating another man, and I know he is uncomfortable with my arrangement with my ex and my pup. Now, he loves my dog, but is uncomfortable with my ex. My question is, should I have a clean break from my ex and my dog to start building my life with my new boyfriend, or should I tell my boyfriend that this is something that won't change?
Anisha, do you still live at home?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. So that's why you can't have the dog with you. Any plans on moving out anytime soon?
Not in the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay. Why'd you get a dog?
Well, my sisters and I had been wanting a dog for a long time, and we were finally old enough to take care of it. So, my mom developed this allergy, and yeah.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. So the boyfriend then took the dog, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
so taking care of him together.
Okay, so this...
Wait, did the boyfriend even want to take the dog?
Yeah, he loved my pup.
Okay.
So this wasn't the case. This is sort of an unusual case because normally in cases like this, you have a couple that live together, they get a dog together, then they break up, then they try these sort of co-ownership, co-custody of a dog. This is a little bit different because he's essentially looking after your dog.
Yes.
Now you got a new boyfriend.
Yep.
How often are you going over to see the dog?
Once or twice a week, sometimes less.
And so does your ex-boyfriend have to be there whenever you're with the dog?
No. I can take him home. He spends the night sometimes. Kind of like shared custody.
Oh, so I don't understand what the problem is with your new boyfriend.
Well, the new boyfriend doesn't want her hanging out with the ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, but she's not. She's just going to go pick up the dog
It still ties.
It's because my ex boyfriend and I still have a friendship. He's a bit uncomfortable with the situation, me going over to pick up the dog and, you know, talking about him, taking him to the vet together. Go on.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
This is normally, I would say, in a situation where people are trying to do this, it's not a kid, okay? I know people like to call themselves dog moms and dog dads, but it's not a child and it's not a custody situation. And as crass as that is, don't get me wrong, I love dogs, everything else. But if you are in a situation where you think that for the rest of your life, you're going to share custody with somebody who's
no longer
your partner,
I'm a dog person, and I can tell you that ain't happening.
It's not going to happen. So you have to decide, one, what is best for the dog, and two, what is best for your new relationship. Do you love your new boyfriend?
Oh, yeah.
You want to build a life with this guy?
Definitely.
So if you did move out, right? Say you and the new boyfriend got a place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You going to go and then take the dog away from your ex and have it live with you?
I don't see that happening.
Okay,
I think it'd be more shared custody. I have him for a week. The ex has him for a week.
So you're going to continue to live this life. Like you're gonna build this relationship with this new guy, and then your ex is always going to be in your life because you're carting this dog back and forth?
Anisha, this is not a good situation.
No, it's not.
It's difficult because I know my dog's now a senior, and I know he doesn't have much of his life left.
Yeah.
And just for the rest, you know, the remainder of his life, however long it is, I wanted to be a part of it.
Hey, listen, you can always say this. You can always say to the ex-boyfriend, I got to stop I got to build this life with my new guy. And he's uncomfortable and it is kind of weird. Like, you have to acknowledge the fact that it's kind of weird if you plan on doing this for years to come. You can easily say to him, if you have to go away on business, if you got to go to a wedding one week, and if you got to do this, I'll take care of the dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take care of the dog, but I can't do this twice a week thing. It's not the most healthy foundation to build your new relationship around.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know. Do you think anything other than that, Mocha? I don't know.
No, I think it's extremely weird, and I can see why your new boyfriend would be uncomfortable with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's been understanding for the most part, but
but deep down inside, like, he's definitely not cool with it.
Yeah,
he's uncomfortable with the ex, but as far as being with my dog, he loves my dog.
Sure.
My dog, it's the arrangement, though.
Who
it's
doesn't
the arrangement.
Love a dog? Right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves a dog. Now, because also what I would be worried about is if I'm your new boyfriend, I'm like, I don't know anything about your ex-boyfriend. Is he just using this dog to keep you in his life?
That's a good question.
See, if you can't answer that,
you know,
that's an even bigger problem, Anisha.
Yeah, because your new boyfriend's not just sharing you with a dog. He's sharing you with your ex.
Yeah. You broke up with your ex-boyfriend. Why did you break up with him?
The relationship just wasn't working out. We thought we were better as friends.
Yeah, you gotta stop this. It's unfortunate and it sucks and your dog, it's heartbreaking, but you can't do this.
Okay. Tough to hear, but okay.
Yeah. Oftentimes the truth is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, you poor thing.
All right, Anisha, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life, only on KISS.
Hey, is today Amazon Prime Day?
It is.
I think it's Amazon Prime Day today and tomorrow.
It is.
I think it's Amazon Prime Days.
And it's funny, all the other retailers everywhere are doing their own big sales to kind of draw people's attention away from Amazon Prime.
I've taken advantage of Amazon Prime. This morning I ordered foot cream.
Oh, you did. And what was the, so what is taking advantage? Is it just a cheaper price on foot cream or?
On foot cream and no delivery fee.
But you don't pay a delivery fee if you have Amazon Prime.
I don't have Amazon Prime.
Oh, you don't.
That's right. So I waited till today to buy my foot cream.
Why do you not have Amazon Prime?
I thought you were going to say, why don't I have foot cream?
No, why don't you have Amazon Prime?
Matthew has Amazon Prime. I don't.
Oh, so you do?
Well, the family, I'm not allowed to use his account.
Oh.
Not even to buy foot cream? Your husband won't let you buy foot cream on his account?
Oh, wow.
So you had to sign up for the trial.
Yeah, to get my foot cream.
Now, here's the thing, though. For anyone taking advantage, and if you're like Maureen, you don't have a membership, or you're married to someone that just hates you so much that they won't let you use the account for delivery of foot cream.
Okay, yes.
When you sign up, keep in mind that after the 30 days, mm-hmm. you'll automatically get charged. So set like a reminder or something in your phone that before the 30 days are up to cancel your account.
Unless
you really enjoy Prime.
No, there you go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I sent you a clip of Naomi Campbell. You can't really hear it that much, but I want to sort of break it down for you. You might need to import it. So, Naomi Campbell did a video where she was talking about like her sort of, I don't know what it is, like the routine that she goes through while she's flying.
Okay.
And it's her, she's getting on this plane and she's talking to the camera and she starts going through her bag. So listen to a little bit of this, and it's tough to hear, so I'll sort of talk over it a little bit.
Everything for hydration. When I get on a plane, so it's hydration, face mask.
So she has this Louis Vuitton bag, and she starts emptying it, right? When she gets on a plane.
She's sitting in her seat at this point?
No, she's standing.
Oh, okay.
Definitely not sitting in her seat at this point, because the first thing she does is she puts on rubber gloves. Then she takes out Dettol antibacterial wipes.
Yeah.
And she wipes everything down. Okay. So anything that she will touch at some point on the plane, she wipes down fully. The seat back, the screen, the armrest, the buttons over top, like the call buttons, anything that she may touch, the light, because she might want to move the light around. So she disinfects everything.
Are there people on the plane at this point?
Oh, yeah.
As well?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then she takes out a seat cover, puts the seat cover over her seat.
Okay.
Okay. She sits on that. She puts a hydration mask on.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when they're landing, she switches to a different mask because she says it doesn't matter what kind of airline you're on, people will always start sneezing and coughing when a plane comes down for a landing. So she's like, I don't care if you think I'm super weird, but I never get sick when I fly because this is what I do. Like, it's really extreme.
She's like a spa.
Yeah. So that story started to go viral. And then people started responding to that story with one video. And the video is the reason why Naomi Campbell is justified in doing everything that she does on a plane. And it's the reason that maybe we should all now do what Naomi Campbell does on a plane.
Oh, is it disgusting?
So somebody posted this video here, and it's shot from behind someone.
Okay.
And the screen in front of them, their in-flight entertainment system, that's a touch screen.
Yeah.
So this is the video of the person sitting back leisurely in their seat, flipping through the touchscreen menu.
Eating, right?
With their bare foot.
With their foot?
With their foot.
Nastiness. Let me see. Oh my God.
Like,
using that big toe to scroll. You nasty, disgusting. That's so gross.
Like, you know how you can.
Oh,
like,
no.
You know on any touchscreen or iPad how you can just sort of scroll from page to page to page and flip it? This person got on an airplane, took their shoes and their socks off.
And with their right foot, put it on the screen, and with their big toe is scrolling through the options. Oh. Dude, that is disgusting. Dutty. Oh, gross. Oh, I can't even look at that video anymore. No, that's gross. That's super gross.
But is that worse than the hand?
Yes.
Yeah. I think the perception is that it's worse.
In
right?
that person's so. Defense, though, she's not using her hand, so maybe she also doesn't want to touch
I know,
anything.
But you can't go on a plane or something
that's
like
just,
that
that's
and,
just start
using,
and, rude.
And start using your feet for stuff. Yeah. Like, I don't care.
Like,
I don't care.
Who knows you how can't. Long those feet had been in those socks traveling that day.
But you think when you travel for that many hours, people become a whole different ball
no,
of
no,
wax,
they don't. No, they
know?
Don't. People go crazy when they have to take a 4-hour flight.
Yeah.
People go bonkers when they have to take it. They bring a pillow on the plane for a 4-hour flight. I'm like, it's half the time you sit at your desk at work.
Yeah.
You can't do that? Yeah. Like, you have to bring pajamas and a pillow to sit for half the time you would in a normal work day. Like, you're incapable of just sitting there and doing nothing and entertaining
Don't
yourself.
Don't forget the blanket. You got to cover yourself with a blanket.
Oh, shut up, you.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
It's Crystal. How are you guys?
Doing great, Crystal. What's going on?
As disgusting as that is, I agree. Think about how many people don't wash their hands and then are touching that screen.
Oh, yeah, as in everybody.
So I'd rather see a foot than a dirty, poo-stained hand.
Ah, gross. Okay.
But we can't do that, though. Like, it's just...
I know we can't.
Like, it's just... The problem is that people get on airplanes and they go bonkers. And you lose all sort of sense of self, and because maybe because air travel is very expensive, and people want to get the most out of their experience, and they feel that they can sort of bend the rules, and airlines themselves are based on a sort of class system where there's clearly people who are on the plane that get better treatment than some of the other people on a plane. Like air travel is a whack thing anyway, but when you lose your mind when you go on and take a 4-hour flight. Like I've been on a flight that was 4 hours, and I listened to somebody for about 30 minutes complain that they didn't get a blanket. It was 2:00 in the afternoon flight.
Because they didn't get a blanket?
Yeah, 2:00 in the afternoon, and their flight was ruined because they didn't get a blanket.
Use
First
your jacket.
Of all, those blankets,
right?
You don't want any part of those things. I leave them in the bag they come in.
Yeah, no thanks.
And I put it on the floor, and I don't touch it.
I use my jacket or my hoodie.
Yes.
Also, I don't need a blanket on a plane.
Thank you. It's an afternoon flight. It was like July at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I understand planes can get a little cold and everything else, but you have
but
to be able...
But not blanket
no,
cold.
You have to be able to live your life for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Okay? Without a blanket. You have to as a human. Like as a grown person, you have to be able to adapt to your surroundings for 4 hours without needing a blanket. And that thing that they call a pillow that they sometimes give you, it's not a pillow. It's not.
I don't want to know what it is.
No, it's not. It's not good for anything. Like it's it's not even a mitten. Like it's smaller than.
There's no padding on it whatsoever.
No, it's the weirdest thing. And then the pillowcase that's on it feels like a J cloth.
Yeah, it really does.
Right? Like it's not
less than.
It's nothing you want to put your face on. Right.
Thank
well,
you
one
very
of the biggest problems too is that society's become too spoiled. Like we let people get away with everything, so they think that's the norm and that's what they should be getting.
Yeah.
Right. They expect the pillow. They expect the headphones, which are disgusting, by the way. And they expect the blanket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Crystal, we always appreciate when you call in. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dad. You keep me company in the morning.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Hi, Connie. Welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. How old are you?
I'm 25.
All right, here we go.
25. Okay, Connie, you write us this. Roz and Mocha Fix My Life. I'm a junior designer working at an ad agency. I recently got paired up with a senior designer to help him out with his workflow. I usually get assigned the smaller stuff while the senior designer gets the larger, more complicated work. When I started working with him, I noticed him micromanaging my work and giving me advice on how to work better. This is all fine until he started doing my work as well as his work. I tried bringing it up, but he always says, oh, sorry, but it's done now, so don't worry about it. It's been going on for a while, and it's impacting my work and my job.
Damn.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's really tough because I want to be proud of my work, but I can't if someone else does it for me.
Yeah.
Have you had any other conversations with this person?
I've kind of tried to bring it up during like our meetings when we present our stuff to our boss.
Yeah.
Kind of just saying like, hey, I did this stuff and I finished it already, but apparently, my coworker already did all this stuff for me and...
No, but Connie, I'm talking like one-on-one with just him and not in
a room with other people?
A little bit. I sit beside him.
Yeah.
So I kind of just say, hey, you know, like, I did this. It's done. He'd be like, oh, I already did it. So we're just going to go with mine. And he kind of just like dismisses it.
So are you guys, are there times where you're both working on the same thing and you don't know that he's already doing it?
Yeah. Like, okay. Even though I sit beside him,
yeah.
He doesn't talk a lot. So I don't know what he's working on. I try to communicate saying, hey, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then he'll just be like, I did this already. And I'll be like, oh, okay.
Hey, is there a potential that like there's a promotion coming up where one of the two of you may advance in your company that based on everything that you guys are doing
so,
right now?
No.
Like he's not like vying for like a management position, right?
No, no. He's been a senior art director for a while and kind of just very comfy being there. So
is there a chance that he likes you as a person but doesn't like your work? And is sort of happy to have you around, doesn't want to rock the boat, doesn't want somebody to sort of chastise you or put you in a position of where you may lose your job. So he's just taking all of it on because he may think not, and I don't mean this in any sort of like cruel way, but may think that you're not competent enough to do the job that you're given.
I don't think so. Just because before I applied for this job, he just did everything by himself. And then when I kind of showed up, I just feel like maybe he doesn't understand that, like,
yeah.
I'm here to help him.
And that's a common thing with, mm-hmm. with certain types. So what winds up happening is that he has a workflow and an incredible amount of work, okay? And he is sort of set in his ways. And to introduce somebody else into that, even though your job may be to help alleviate some of that workload, actually to him makes it feel like it's more work because now he has to tell you what to do and monitor you. Okay, so he actually feels that he's being put in a position of where he now has to do more. So it's easier for him and probably quicker for him to do it. As far as micromanaging goes, oftentimes micromanagers, it has nothing to do with you or your work. Oftentimes with micromanagers, it's their own sort of insecurities. And it's a them problem, not a you problem. Now, this doesn't necessarily sound like that. I think that for me, when I've worked with these type of people before, when I was younger starting out, you can't take on more than what they're willing to give up. Getting work out of the hands of somebody who works like that is very difficult to do because it opens them up for a whole bunch of problems that they don't really want in their life. So I would say I always start off with two things. I always start off with the, what do you want me to do? Right. And have that conversation with them. So when there is a thing that needs to happen, the conversation is, what do you want me to do? And then hopefully they can say anything, but hopefully they include you. So being included in this is the sort of way that you need to establish that working relationship with somebody. Realistically, somebody above him should be doing that for you, but you can handle it yourself. And then once you get past the, what do you want me to do? You can get up to the, what do you need me to do? Mm-hmm. And then you're in a position of where they need you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can build the relationship. But I think that right now, you know, he's anxiety ridden because you're more of a hassle than not having you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're more work for him. So you have to figure out a way to sort of build that partnership with him so you can do the job that you were hired to do.
I just like it just finds so hard because I was hired to do this. And then like it's kind of like nobody wants me. It's like, you guys hired me. Like,
so who's your boss?
He's a senior creative too.
Okay. So why don't you sit down with that person?
Okay.
Right. And you don't have to you don't have to snitch. Like you don't have to go into this, you know, poor me. But just, you know,
talk about how you feel.
Let them know that, you know, you're having there's issues with, you know, sort of collaboration and, you know, you get assigned to do things and you're not given the opportunity to fulfill the tasks you're given. And you don't feel that you're being utilized and you need to know if it's a problem with your performance. You need to know if it's a problem with the partnership that you have with your senior. You need to know all this stuff. Because you got to fix a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound to me that they integrated you into this relationship that you have with the senior at your firm.
No, they just kind of gave you the job, threw you in there.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
And if somebody doesn't want to teach, if somebody's a lousy teacher, you can be great at a lot of things, but you can also be a real crap teacher. And if the guy you're working with doesn't want to teach, doesn't want to sort of help you, doesn't want to bring you in and sort of build this partnership between the two of you, then you have to either make a move or fix that relationship.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
All right.
Thanks, Connie.
It's tough.
Thank you very much.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life, only on KISS.
I had a cold shower yesterday.
And?
It's glorious.
Yeah?
Yeah. But then I got out and the house was just a little bit too cold. It was cold last night. I put a blanket on.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, on the couch.
Really?
Yeah, my house is too cold.
Isn't cold showers what you get in prison?
Well, there's a lot of stuff that you get in prison. There's a lot of stuff you don't get in prison. Uh-huh. But
like
yeah,
freedom.
No, yeah, freedom.
Like freedom to enjoy 39-degree weather outside.
Yeah, the right to vote. Yeah. Intimacy, all that stuff. But yeah, freedom, I think, is at the top of the list more.
over a nice hot shower?
I think that on the list of things that that you lose when you go into the joint, I think warm showers is pretty low on the list. I would say that.
You'd be lucky if you get the shower.
Yeah. Sleeping with both eyes closed, you lose that. You know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff you lose when you go to the joint. No, I took a cold shower yesterday. It was glorious. But that's what you have to do. Like, my body, my core was just so hot.
Oh, what was it I heard?
I couldn't cool down yesterday. I was so hot.
I think it was Adam Styles from City.
Yeah.
Was giving this advice to people to keep cool. Because yesterday, another hot day.
Yeah.
And again today, like we're almost hitting 40 degrees. Which is, you take some cold water.
Yeah.
And you put it on your left forearm. The inside.
Really?
Your left forearm. Because all the blood from your heart
pumps
to your left arm first before it gets circulated everywhere else.
That's why you feel heart attacks in your
left
arm.
So that's why when you put cold water, you'll feel the effects of cooling down a lot quicker on that side.
I'll try that.
Yeah.
I'll try that.
Cold water in your forearms, you know, cool right down.
Oh, I still do the Roxy taught me the Bear Grylls technique, which is he uses urine. But you can just use cold water, which is...
Oh, okay. Thank you for not telling people to pee in
He pees on a shirt.
On a shirt.
And then wraps it around the back of his neck, and it cools you down. Or he puts it over his whole face, because then your face cools down and then your body cools down.
Isn't it like warm anyway?
What?
Pee, like it's warm anyway.
Yeah, but it's going to be colder than... It's liquid, so when the air hits it, it cools down. The air's not going to... The pee's not going to get warmer. The water's not going to get warmer when the air hits it. So it cools down if it comes out warm. And then all you need is just that little bit of moisture on the back of your neck, and it rehydrates you. Now, Bear Grylls puts it up over his face, like right over his mouth.
Oh, no thanks.
Like he cools down his whole face, right? And so when Roxy does it to me, she just takes a cloth and then puts water on it and then wraps it around my neck. And she's like, does that feel real good? And I'm like, yeah. And then she'll wrap it around my face and she goes, now imagine if that's pee.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Darren Jones, who works here at Kiss 92.5, his show starts at 3 o'clock Monday to Friday. He talked to Katy Perry.
Oh, nice. How's she doing?
She's great. She's so lovely. You can find that interview at kiss925.com. And the three times I met Katy Perry, she's been pleasant.
Yeah, she's lovely.
Like, sometimes you meet people at different points in their career,
mm-hmm.
and they progressively become jerks.
Mm-hmm.
Katy Perry is that one person who, when she was a brand new artist, very, very lovely,
mm-hmm.
as she started to get bigger and bigger and bigger in the music game, the exact same loveliness.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. They talk about Taco Bell. I had no idea Katy Perry was like a big Taco Bell fan.
Oh, Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Before we get to the music stuff, Taco Bell, and man, wait till you hear what she says her go-to order is. It may actually shock you. Wait, what do you think Katy Perry's go-to order is?
Two soft tacos and a fry supreme.
Katy's favorite cheap date place. What do you like to do?
I mean, I'm a cheap date girl. Like, I love going to the movies. I just love going to the movies, and I'm not going to lie, I love Taco Bell.
What's your go-to at Taco Bell?
Crunchwrap Supreme, extra beef, extra onion.
What did she say?
Crunchwrap Supreme.
Crunchwrap Supreme.
Extra beef and extra onions.
What is a Crunchwrap Supreme? Explain that to me. I haven't been to Taco Bell in about 20 years.
Okay,
so.
It's best if I show you.
Okay, yes, please.
Taco Bell Crunchwrap Supreme.
With extra beef. That's my
and extra onions.
That's my kind of woman.
I don't know about the onions thing. I don't know if I could.
Nah, but I appreciate that in a person.
If I knew Katy Perry today had a Crunchwrap Supreme with extra beef and extra onions, I'd have to give it like 2 days before I could speak to her face to face.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I appreciate the fact that Katy Perry meets people for a living and she goes for extra onions. I love it. Let me see what the beast looks like. Oh my God.
Tell me that don't look like a heavy meal.
This looks so perfect.
It looks delicious, right?
Oh, it's got that melty cheese on it. All right, hit me with some more Katy Perry here.
Man, that song, Never Really Over, right?
Yeah.
People loving it.
Well, thank you very much. As long as they're cranking and they're screaming, you know, like that you can see their vocal cords through their neck when they're singing it. Because actually, it's such a mouthful to sing. It's kind of like a riddle.
Oh, how so? I'm curious.
Oh, it's just like a lot of the same words put in different places and then all in one breath. Just because it's over doesn't mean it's really over, and if the thing is over, maybe you'll be coming over again, and I have to get over you all over again. You know, it's like, it's very militant.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's my favorite part of that song. I like that part.
So if you want to check out the full interview Darren Jones did with Katy Perry, you can find it online at kiss925.com.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, Mocha.
Yes.
For the podcast.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Everybody listening right now, are you ready?
Yes.
Get those comments ready.
Yes.
Let's do the news!
A Roz and Mocha Show and KISS 92.5 News Break.
Well, there's a pizza place. This is what I wanted to know. Okay. There's a pizza chain that is going to sell just the crust.
Oh, what? Weird.
Yes. This is why I had you all wait, by the
Hold
way.
Hold on.
So I can get to this. Okay, so...
But hold on, is it pre-chewed?
Okay, no. Why would it be pre-chewed?
Well, how did they, like ripped off the rest of the pizza?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here's what I didn't know. Okay, so is it just like the crust where it's the whole pie just with no toppings on it?
So it's a circle?
No. Or is it just the crust all the way around?
I saw a picture of this.
Yeah. So Villa Italian Kitchen restaurant chain thinks that they're going to corner the market on selling crust. So it's called Just the Crust, and that's exactly what it is. Five pieces of pizza crust in a box. I guess much like breadsticks. Do they look like breadsticks, Maury?
They kind of do.
Now, is this crust that was existing at one time on a pizza?
Yeah, because it had sauce on it.
Okay, so here's what I want to know. Do they make a pizza and then take the Rolly pizza cutter and go like 1 inch in around the diameter of the pizza and then go like...
I think they snake it. I think they just take the dough and they roll it and make one long snake and then slice it into five pieces.
It's curved.
Yeah, they can do that. Just like a big rolly thing. Like they make one big long skinny piece of dough like a snake.
What, and then you just
connect, and then you connect the two ends.
Yeah.
So does it come giant and round and then, or do they cut it up like you would a pizza?
No, that would be a waste of space.
Like I'm very confused by this. Anyway, they're selling a five pack for $275.
Oh, okay.
It's not bad.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I rate that. I'm here for it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Lashana Lynch. So this was the big story over the weekend with James Bond and 007. So the story was that the next James Bond was going to be Lashana Lynch. Lashana Lynch is black. She is a female. She was Maria in Captain Marvel. She was Captain Marvel's friend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Who was awesome in Captain Marvel. She is actually my favorite part of Captain Marvel. So the story over the weekend was that she's going to be the new James Bond. And a lot of people were writing a lot of clickbaity type headlines that Lashana Lynch was the new James Bond.
Okay.
But the way that it's playing is that she's not the new James Bond, but in the new James Bond movie, she's the new 007. So what happens?
So who's 007?
Well, no, James Bond is still James Bond. 007 is his number.
Oh, so he passed that number
to
her? So
he apparently in the movie retires.
Yeah.
And then they pass on 007 to this new agent. And this new agent is the new 007. So people were writing all these really clickbaity headlines over the weekend.
Right.
Saying that the new James Bond is going to be a black female. But it's not the new James Bond. In the new movie... James Bond is still James Bond, but there's a new 007 who has her own character.
She'll have her own name.
She has everything else, but she takes over the 007 handle.
Okay, I understand.
Okay, which is fine.
Yeah.
That makes sense, of course. You're going to retire. That's what you do, James Bond. Scarlett Johansson has issued a statement clarifying her political correctness comments that any actor should be able to play anybody. So she said in an interview, you know, as an actor, I should be allowed to play any person or any tree or any animal because that is my job and the requirements of my job. She goes on to say, I feel like it's a trend in my business that it needs to happen for various social reasons. Yet there are times it does get uncomfortable when it affects the art, because I feel art should be free of restrictions. She finishes by saying, I think society would be more connected if we just allowed others to have their own feelings and not expect everyone to feel the way we do. So interesting, because she's been twice now, I believe, when she did Ghost in the Shell, people freaked out over that because saying that a white woman shouldn't have played that that role. And then she had another one as well. So she's been under this now twice where harsh criticism. But we're coming off a week after Halle Bailey got cast in the new Little Mermaid, who's this young black actress. And everybody celebrated that. As you said, she even looks like the Little Mermaid. Like, it's wild, this girl's face. But it's really wild how we have that one week and then still somebody who is white who comes out and says that I want to play everything. And then all the responses are because Scarlett Johansson was originally cast to star in this movie as a trans woman.
Oh, okay.
And so that's when it came out that only trans people should play trans characters. And so she made a statement about that and then got murdered for that as well. So here's what her response to this. So tell me if this clears it up for you, because it does not clear it up for me.
Okay.
She said, an interview that was recently published has been edited for clickbait and is wildly taken out of context. Okay, cool. So what was the context? Explain this. So she goes on to say, the question I was answering in my conversation with a contemporary artist, David Sally, was about the confrontation between political correctness and art. I personally feel that in an ideal world, any actor should be able to play anybody in art in all forms, should be immune to political correctness. That is the point I was making, albeit it didn't come across that way.
That sounds exactly like the first time she said it,
right?
Just worded slightly different.
Right?
Which is replacing like two or three words.
That's like,
it was basically the exact same thing.
That's not a clarification. That's a reiteration.
Yes.
Right?
Let me tell you again how I feel.
But also completely out of context. Super weird. Super weird, man.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
A guy set a new Guinness Book of World Record for sitting on the toilet for 116 hours straight.
What?
Yeah. A 48-year-old named Jimmy Defrene from Belgium set a Guinness Book of World Record for sitting on the toilet for 116 consecutive hours. And it wasn't even a real toilet either. It was in the middle of a bar.
Oh.
The biggest challenge. So I don't know. Did they just keep the bar open? Or like, did you sleep?
He was allowed, pants on or off?
They said he was allowed. That's a great question. He was allowed to get up for 5 minutes every hour to stretch.
Okay.
Oh.
But that's not consecutive then.
Well, but you want to know the funny thing?
Huh.
Is that so he broke a Guinness Book of World Record for 116 straight hours sitting on a toilet.
Uh-huh.
But they had to let him up to be able to go to the bathroom to take bathroom breaks.
But he was sitting on a toilet.
But it's a toilet in the middle of a bar. I guess they
so
just...
So it wasn't a working toilet?
No, it was a prop toilet.
It was like a display, like when you go to Home Depot or whatever?
When I first said that the toilet was in the middle of a bar, did you think it was a bar that had a real working toilet in the middle of it?
I thought they installed a working toilet for him.
No. No.
Special event? I don't know.
No, so I'm guessing his pants were up. But yeah, he sits on a toilet for 116 hours.
Asterisk next to that one.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Netflix has decided to alter the graphic scene in the first season of 13 Reasons Why.
That came out like 2 years ago, though.
Yes. So more than 2 years after 13 Reasons Why season finale stirred controversy over a graphic suicide scene, Netflix is editing the scene. So they say this, as we prepare to launch season 3 later this summer, we've been mindful about the ongoing debate around the show. So on the advice of medical experts, including Dr. Christine Mottier, chief medical officer at the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, we've decided with the show's creator, Brian York, and the producers to edit the scene in which Hannah takes her own life from season one. So in the original 3 minute long scene, if you remember, it showed everything. So she was standing in front of the mirror.
Really graphic, yeah.
She was standing in front of the mirror and there was like a tear, and then she gets into the tub, she grabs the blade, and then she sits there. You see the look on her face and it hangs there for a while. And then the parents come in and discover her. So in the new scene, has now been updated, which is already on Netflix, now features just Hannah looking at herself in the mirror before it then immediately cuts to her parents' reaction.
Oh.
So the entire thing is gone.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, why did it take so long?
They didn't just alter a part.
From what I remember,
the entire thing is gone.
The hype surrounding 13 Reasons Why and that specific scene from that episode was being talked about 2.5 years ago.
Yes.
And all sorts of experts had already come out saying why this is wrong and why it was wrong to have it on a show and for children to be seeing this, kids, whatever, young teens.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it not taken to this extreme?
Yeah, I think it's creative. I think it's art. I think that there's a lot of stuff on Netflix that show really graphic and horrific things. What do you start editing? It came down to the intent of the show and the audience for the show. But that show wasn't the show that they thought they made. I think that they thought that they were going to create this show that started a conversation about mental health and youth and suicide and all this other stuff, and they didn't. They created a fantasy show where somebody uses suicide as revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the old, you're going to be sorry when I'm gone, and now I'm going to get my revenge from the other side. And it was a really terrible, they didn't make the show they thought they did. Because when I watched that show, and a lot of people watched that show, I was like, what in the hell are you guys doing?
I didn't even watch season 2, to be honest with you.
No, neither did I. I had no interest in watching season 2. So FaceApp is the thing that everybody's using. There's already backlash towards it. Everybody's like, all right, enough of FaceApp.
Oh, God, who's complaining?
I've noticed, though, not a lot of women doing the old pics and post them on Instagram.
No, they're
through
not.
Through FaceApp. It's a lot of guys, right, who get a kick out of seeing themselves look real old. Not a lot of women are
getting in. Release that information? Nah, man.
Are loving themselves.
More secret than Area 51.
Yeah, I did Catherine, and she did not find it amusing. But the real story with this is that there's a bunch of tweets now coming out saying that, because FaceApp is not new, this portion of it is updated, but the actual app made news back in 2017. And it was at that point where people were saying, pointing out their extreme and over the top agreement that you make when you sign up with the app as far as what they're able to do with your likeness and images and everything else.
Wait, what?
It's more over the top than other sort of social platforms. And then the story started coming out that the FaceApp itself was a Russian company.
Oh, no.
So the tweet that came out then said that they weren't trying to raise a flag about FaceApp, but they did want to point out that they have access to all of your photos, even if it wasn't uploaded to the actual app. It's your entire photo album. So Forbes did a sort of dive into FaceApp, and it's not as bad as what a lot of the Russian tweets are making it seem. So a security researcher who goes by the pseudonym Elliot Anderson downloaded the app and checked where it was sending users' faces. And the French cyber expert found that FaceApp only took submitted photos, and that those that you want in the software to transform to a backup server. So they weren't actually, because people were saying that when they loaded up the app, the album of pictures that came up was out of order, meaning that it was uploading pictures as they were sort of in its own kind of algorithm. And so they thought that that is what they were, sort of going through your entire photo album and uploading all of your photos onto their Russian servers. So
hold on. When I go to the FaceApp, right?
Yes.
And I open and I gave them access to my camera roll.
Correct.
Does that mean all these pictures that I have here, they have access to?
So that's what the initial story was. But Forbes' story is saying, no, it's only the pictures that you asked to transform within the app. And so where is the server based? That's the big question. Is the server based in America or is the server based in Russia? So they took a look at the hosting records and they confirmed to Forbes that, yes, the server is in fact based in the US of A. Okay, so it's actually USA. Amazon's data centers and inside the U.S.
Perfect.
And the app only uses third-party code, so they said that they're going to reach out to the app to find out if it's any different in other countries, kind of thing. But so anyway, there's a lot of FaceApp is a Russian sort of spy agency going on around there. According to Forbes, the photos that they do upload, it's only the ones that you ask to be altered through the app, and they are uploaded to servers that originate in in the United States.
Roz and Mocha Q&A.
It's now time for Ask Roz and Mocha. Before we get to that, let me read you two reviews that we recently got on Apple Podcasts, by the way. And both reviews, thank you, by the way, to both of these people leaving us 5 stars. Feel free to do the same, and your review could be read on a future episode of the Roz and Mocha Show podcast. BBB000 wrote, love, love, love. Absolutely love the show. Been listening to the show for a while, and I started listening to the podcast in mid-March. Roz and Mocha, you guys are absolutely hilarious. Keep up the great work. We'll continue to listen to the podcast. Amber A. Smith wrote, amazing. Also 5 stars. I have listened to the Roz and Mocha Show since I was in high school when the show first started. Wow. It always puts a smile on my face, laughing like crazy while I'm driving in the car. People driving by probably think I'm crazy. Ha ha ha. I've had to start re-listening to old episodes while I wait for the new episode every Friday. Always look forward to the drive to work on Friday morning as I get to listen to a new episode. I love it. So Amber A. Smith, thank you very much for your review. Friendly reminder, Roz and Mocha Show podcast now Fridays and Mondays. Who do we have on the phone?
Kristen Ewan.
How are you, Kristen?
Good, how are you?
Good. Thank you for submitting your question through Instagram at Kiss925.
Yep.
Where are you from, Kristen?
I'm from Ottawa.
You're from Ottawa. How do you listen to the Roz and Mocha Show?
I listen to Kiss 105.3 in Ottawa, and they play you guys in the evening.
Yeah.
Ah, nice.
And obviously, you listen to the podcast.
Podcast for sure, yeah.
Okay, cool. Kristen, what is your question for Ask Roz and Mocha?
So my question is, have any of you ever had a paranormal experience or experienced something that you just couldn't quite explain?
Okay, now is this coming from a personal place for you? Have you had one of those?
I've had a couple small ones.
Mm-hmm.
I have what I like to call like sort of a spirit cat sometimes in my room.
Okay.
So,
ghost cats in your bedroom when you're sleeping?
I have ghost cats in my room, yes.
You know, let me tell you something, Kristen. Even before you asked your question, I knew you were one of those.
Yeah, I'm one of those.
I knew you were one of those. You and my mother.
Okay, so tell us about your ghost cat.
So I was laying in bed one night on my side, and I felt like, you know when you can feel a cat jump up on the end of the bed?
Yeah.
And I felt it walk along, and then I actually felt the impressions on my side, and then I felt it curl up beside me, and I put my hand there, and there was nothing there.
But do you have a cat? Like,
I do, but at the time she was really bad, so I put her in the basement at night.
Wow, this is so deep.
Oh my god.
Okay, so you have a ghost cat. Did you name the ghost cat?
I haven't, no.
No, you have not.
Has the ghost cat come back to visit?
Occasionally, like I haven't felt it on me, but I feel like sometimes jumping on the bed.
Okay. One of those.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience, Roz?
No, because ghosts aren't real. I haven't. But don't get me wrong. I come from a long line of ghost believers, okay? My mother, my grandmother was super into psychics, and my grandmother used to read tea leaves, right? Where like women would go over to the house for tea and you'd bust the tea bag open. You'd all sit around and have a tea, and the tea leaves, the tea in the bottom of the glass would form patterns, and everybody would hand my grandmother the glass and she would read your fortune. My grandmother never saw a movie in her life. Right?
Really?
She never sat through a movie. She didn't have the patience for that. When she got older, she watched American Idol, and that was it. The only sort of insight into culture and people's lives was from American Idol. Yeah. My grandmother never sat through a movie her whole life.
Oh,
okay,
wow.
So she's reading people's fortunes.
Uh-huh.
My mother believed that we lived in a house where a woman died, and the woman would talk to my mother. Sometimes she was angry and my mother would wake up in the middle of the night and the room would be on fire. And then my mom would have to talk her down and then the flames would go down. There was a whole... Okay. You have to understand, this is how I grew up.
Yeah.
Okay? This is how I grew up.
Wait, does your brother believe in ghosts?
In ghosts?
Like,
I don't know if he believes in ghosts. He's really more into aliens, which is a little, to me, more understandable. But I don't know if he's a big ghost believer. But we grew up with like my mom's side of the family... We're very much into ghosts and paranormal and everything else.
What about Catherine, your girlfriend?
Oh, 100%. She gets pissed. Like, if she's listening to the show, like, yeah. Catherine believes in ghosts so much, she gets pissed if I laugh at somebody like you, Kristen, and I say you're one of those. I will hear about this tonight.
Really?
Yes, I will. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She thinks it's, like, just downright mean to, to demean somebody like that in their belief in ghosts.
I talk to my dead grandfather all the time.
But that, what does he answer, though? That's the difference.
Well, I ask for things talking, and they happen.
No, but talking to somebody who's dead is not the same
thing.
What
about the fact that he makes my dreams come true?
Jeez, man.
You need to ask for new dreams, bro.
Yeah, you're still broke. Like, okay?
And not to mention, I also saw a ghost when I was in Winnipeg.
Okay, so hold on a second. Before we get to that, because I have that. Mocha, when we started this show, you were very much a ghost believer. And you would freely say on the air, and we would have these long discussions about the fact that you were one of those. And over the years, you've curbed that. And now you're in denial. Now, I don't know if you are a ghost believer who is just ashamed, or if you actually no longer believe in ghosts.
So I don't think that I believe in ghosts anymore.
You don't think that you believe in them?
Okay, so a long, long time ago, and I don't know if it was a paranormal experience,
okay,
or if it was a dream.
Go on.
I'm gonna say maybe it's a dream.
Okay.
So I was in New York for the summertime spending time with family, yes, right? And I remember sleeping at my aunt's house on the pull-out couch. And middle of the night, I woke up, and from the family room where I was, you could see directly into the kitchen.
Okay.
And at the back of the kitchen was a door, mm-hmm, that led to the backyard. And again, could have been a dream or paranormal experience.
All right.
But some dude walked in, and he was wearing an all-white suit, white hat. And he was just standing there in the kitchen, didn't say anything, didn't do anything, but staring directly at me. And I remember all I could do was lift my head. And I was looking, and I couldn't speak. I tried to move my arms. I tried to move my legs. I was completely paralyzed in that moment. And I didn't know what was going on.
So did you feel that you woke up, or were you up since then? Was there a moment where you woke up, or did you just sort of have to fall back to sleep?
Because it happened so long ago,
yeah.
In my mind, I think that I would like to say that I did not go back to sleep.
Okay.
That I was still awake for the duration of that mystery man in an all-white suit.
Right. But did you see him turn around and leave?
No, I don't remember that. If it happened, I don't remember.
Okay,
maybe I did fall asleep. I don't know.
Mocha's one of those as well. and as we know, years ago, Maury went to a, where was the haunted hotel?
It's the Fort Garry Hotel in Winnipeg, and it was room 202.
Okay, and it's legendary because
it's haunted.
It's haunted, but give the backstory.
So it's a woman that was there. She killed herself because her husband was cheating on her.
Right.
And so she went to this room and hung herself in the closet.
Okay, and is this story verified? Like, you could Google this right now.
1,000%.
The story of the woman who hung herself,
yes,
in the closet.
And
of the
see
Fort
her in
Garry
a white
Hotel.
Long nightgown.
Because oftentimes these stories just take on a life of their own. Mm-hmm. And when you check into this room, do they tell you that this is a haunted room?
Only if you ask.
Only if you, so they don't fully, they don't disclose it up front.
No, no.
Okay, and you went there specifically to see if you could.
Oh, I stayed in that room because I wanted to see if I could see her. And would you believe I did?
Yes. And would you believe that Maury did not and then lied all about it on tape?
Completely.
Well, that's because you don't believe.
Have you heard this before, Kristen?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
you are in for a treat. I hope you're sitting down.
When Maury was sleeping in the haunted hotel room, he was recording everything. And so this is Damn It, Maury, at that night in room 202.
Kristen, sit down.
Yep.
Grab that ghost cat of yours.
Yeah.
Yep.
And listen to this.
Okay, here we go. So this is Damn It, Maury here. By the way, that those snorts that you hear, that's Damn It, Maury pretending to sleep.
Yeah, completely.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Super believable so far, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Holy. The room just got so cold. I'm getting off the bed.
You know what it sounds like? It's like a reaction that somebody would give in like a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
I'm getting off the bed.
So cool. I'm getting off the bed.
And then what happened? You go down on the floor, Maury?
Oh, yeah. I crouch down beside the bed.
Okay.
All of a sudden, he turns into Porky Pig with a stuttering over there.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I'm now lying on the floor. I totally saw Kate at the end of my bed. Woman, white dress is now gone. Wow.
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 Like Soink Scoop.
White dress is now gone. Wow. I can't.
I'm out of here.
Right. That didn't even happen.
You see?
That didn't even happen.
You have to be a believer, man.
Like Zoinks. I'm out of here.
I'm getting out of bed.
What, the best is more so,
oh my God. No,
the other part where he's like, wow.
Anyway, I hope that answers your question, Kristen.
It does. Thanks, guys. Okay.
All right. Love you lots. All the best in Ottawa. Thanks. Take care.
Bye.
Take care.
Okay, John asks, what are you better at, giving gifts or giving your time?
Oh, geez.
I would say giving gifts.
You're one of the best gift givers I've ever met in my life.
Oh, thanks, man.
You do. You give awesome gifts.
Actually, I will say you and Catherine, you and your girlfriend Catherine, give amazing gifts as well.
That's more, I'm not that thoughtful.
You know what? You say that, but I think you just say that for the sake of saying it because you actually are thoughtful.
No. I'm compassionate. Like I am thoughtful, but it's just very difficult for me to get my act together with stuff. Giving your time, jeez, like that's more difficult for me than giving a gift.
Yeah. Well, like, you got two jobs too, right?
So. Yeah. But just also like for me to give, my time is worth more than my money.
Uh-huh.
Right. So I would much rather, if I had the option of giving a gift or showing up somewhere, I would 100% give the gift.
Yeah.
Like I would not, like for me, my time is worth way more than what I would spend on anything. So I'm going to say, what am I better at? I'm going to say just for that reason, giving gifts, just because it's very difficult for me to convince myself that something is worth my time, which is terrible.
I mean, as somebody who knows you, I understand why.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's tough though.
Damn it, Maury.
I was going to say give my time because I mean, it's easy to just sit there.
I would say give your time as well, more. I would say that if somebody asks you to show up for something, you're more likely to do that. And all you and Matthew do is complain about gifts that you have to get for people. You never complain about where you have to go.
Yeah.
You guys always just show up, right?
Yeah.
They'll go to weddings and they'll be like, $75 per person.
Oh, if you were a fly on the wall when we get invited to baby showers.
Oh, yeah. See, don't go to baby showers.
Wait, how many baby showers are you going to?
Yeah. We just got invited to another one. One of my sister, Mira, is having twins. And we're like, you know, we're just make up something. We're not available.
So, yeah, but okay.
Wait, doesn't your sister already have a kid?
Yeah, no, this would be like, no, she has two more on the way.
So, but you're going to give a gift.
At some point, but we just don't want to be there and sit there and watch you open all of your gifts.
Wait, hang on a second. But if she already has a kid, how many kids does she already have?
One.
Does she have a baby shower for that one?
Yes.
So why is she having a baby shower for the next one?
I don't know. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Every kid you have, you're supposed to have another baby shower? I don't know.
No,
I don't know. What's the rules to baby showers?
From what I know, the baby shower for the very first baby.
Yeah.
And then after that, no baby showers because you basically already have all the stuff.
But that was a girl. This is two boys.
That does not matter. That's not my business.
Yeah.
That's not my problem. That's a you problem.
Yeah. And a lot of the newborn stuff, a lot of people will end up getting neutral colors, right? Gender neutral. Yeah. So we kept all of Cruz's baby clothing, stuff, right? Yeah. Shoes, boots, jackets, everything. And I mean, ironically, we're having another boy in November. So all of Cruz's clothing that he had when he was a newborn will go to the new baby. I mean, obviously we'll buy a couple of new things.
Like, will he look at the new baby and say, that's mine, give it back?
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, maybe.
Sometimes.
Probably. I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of jealousy.
Yeah. Yeah, his favorite things. And No. Anyway, sometimes that happens.
I don't think your sister Mira, she's hustling something, man.
Now, Maury, you know that just because, so if you get invited to the baby shower, right? I know what you're thinking, which is that if you guys make up some sort of excuse to not go to the baby shower, that also gets you out of getting a gift.
But that's not the
case. That's not the case, though.
Well, our thinking is when it's born, then you'll give a gift on its first birthday or...
You're going to wait a full year? So you're
that's
not even
a birthday
gonna get
present.
Those, yeah. You're not even going to give those twins like a newborn gift?
Well, we have more time to worry about it because then when the baby's born, there's a couple weeks where nobody sees the kid, right? So they're more clear for a couple of weeks there.
Yeah, the cave weeks.
Yeah.
When you have to hide the kid away and let him finish up.
Yeah. When finish developing.
Yeah.
And then, so then the next time we see the family for Shabbat or something, we'll bring like a couple shirts.
No, you're not. Why don't you just get it for the shower? Send it over that day. What's the problem? Why wait 2 weeks?
It already happened.
Oh.
Damn.
We said we were out of town.
Yeah. Were you?
No.
Where were you?
On the couch.
Yeah. You guys are the worst.
Okay. Rachel.
You guys are the worst people. You really are.
Rachel Simmons. If you have the feeling you need to fart in a public place.
Oh.
But when you let it slip out, it's a lot louder than what you thought it would be. And random bystanders hear it. What do you do? Acknowledge and own it? Pretend it wasn't you? Or blame it on someone else? # asking for a friend. So basically, Rachel farted in public and wants to know if she made the right decision.
If you're in a room full of strangers and you fart, are you saying, excuse me? No, you don't.
I usually just go, oops.
Oh.
You say oops? No, you don't. Why do you lie?
No, but if it's super loud and it's obviously you, I just go oops.
Last week, you showed up here and it's like before our show starts at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
You showed up here, you were in your other room and you farted like so loud. You never said oops. You didn't say anything. I was like, Lord, you just farted.
Well, I couldn't
say even 6 a.m. yet.
Oops when I'm laughing so hard.
No, like I would say no. I don't acknowledge that. Why would you acknowledge that? It's not needed. Acknowledgement while farting in public in front of strangers. You don't have to own it.
You just carry on with your business.
You're in the world. You're with people. Gas happens. Okay, we all know it's fine. You don't have to own it.
No, but
it's not rude if you don't.
People are going to think you're an animal if you don't acknowledge it.
No. Because I'm assuming that in a situation like this, it's a group of people sitting around and you all just hear a fart. Nobody knows where it came from. I'm not acknowledging that at all.
No, me neither.
No,
I would never.
No.
Never.
That is not required. Not at all.
Okay, Rosie DiMatteo asks, what's one TV show you think changed the era of television and you can only pick one? For her, it's Seinfeld.
The era of television. That specific era, or did it change the way we look at television altogether?
I'm going to disagree with Seinfeld.
How could
you? As far as changing the era of television. I think that it was a very unique thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Seinfeld wasn't that first show in that sort of new world of comedy on NBC. Cheers was. Seinfeld was in its own sort of world, but it didn't change things in the sense that other shows sort of did what Seinfeld did. They saw what Seinfeld was able to do, and then they did another Seinfeld. There's only been one Seinfeld. Like, I can draw more parallels from other comedies to other comedies than you can with Seinfeld. I think Seinfeld existed. It was iconic, but I don't know that it redefined the industry. I don't know if it redefined the genre.
Friends? Like how they did Friends, because with Seinfeld, it was just everyday situations, and Friends was everyday situations.
No, but so I would say that Friends was more influenced by the successes of something like Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
See,
because it was Seinfeld wasn't grounded. There was no sort of normal. Like, Seinfeld was fantasy. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing in that show made sense. Where Friends was grounded. right? These were real people with real jobs where, you know, they weren't dealing with like a soup Nazi, and they weren't dealing with like all this sort of, you know what I mean? All this sort of stuff, right? Yeah. Like
but the things on Seinfeld were based on real situations.
No, I get that. But I'm just saying that the way that the show is put together, I don't know. Seinfeld's iconic. But I'm going to say like shows that redefined everything. House of Cards is one of them, to pick something new, because sure. House of Cards was the first Netflix show.
Yeah.
Right? And it launched everything.
See, I was going to say Netflix. All in the Family. I was going to go back to All in the Family and say that pushed the envelope between like comedy yeah. and racism. And
pushed the envelope.
Oh my God. Wow.
Racism.
Don't even explain, Maury. Yeah,
what a way to sum that up.
I think my answer was going to be The Office. Is that fair to say? The Office?
A lot of that was improv, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was improv, but I think just the way they shot it, that kind of like documentary style, obviously on purpose, but I haven't really, maybe I just haven't paid attention, but seen anything yeah. else like The Office.
Well, except the original Office.
Except for the original, sorry, correct. Let me rephrase that. The U.S. Yeah. version of The Office with Michael
Scott. But going back to her question, changed the era of television. Nothing really, like The Office didn't influence anything else to do the same.
I will say Simpsons changed the era of television.
Oh, hell yeah.
I will say Survivor changed the era of television.
Yeah.
Oh, what about Family Guy?
No, because that's Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, right. Simpsons right? Influenced first. By Simpsons,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, The Office, I guess The Office, but it's hard to say. Also, Sopranos changed everything.
Show,
changed everything.
That was the first HBO, right?
Yeah, it was like that sort of Sopranos and The Wire, which I haven't seen either of them, but I respect both those shows for the sort of lifelong loyal fans that they have. I think both those shows changed everything in that world of HBO.
Yeah,
you could say Sesame Street changed, you know, children's programming forever.
And Mr. Rogers before that.
Yeah. What about game shows? Can you say game shows?
Well, yeah, I guess you could say Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy.
Right?
But then you got to go right? No, but then you got to go back to the first though. Like you got to go back to the first the first monster. Like it's easy to track reality television and competition reality back to the first season of Survivor mm-hmm. because that first season of Survivor shook the world. Like 60 Minutes was doing stories on Survivor.
Yeah.
You know, like this was something that people had never seen before. It's tough those shows though.
What about SNL?
Maybe
right yeah. for like sketch comedy,
yeah.
But then you know what? Then before that, it would be Second City,
yeah. I guess
or SCTV.
Or yeah. What about the one important show that we're all? I don't know how we forgot about this,
yeah.
But Jersey Shore.
No.
Come on, bro.
Oh no! Do you know what show did change? And
what?
I will die on the hill for this.
What
the show? Hills? No. What show
Laguna
changed
Beach.
Everything?
What?
No. It was Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson show on MTV.
Oh, yeah.
The one where she said that tuna was the
yep,
chicken of the
that
sea?
That is the show that launched all of those
kind
of
celebrity, like reality shows. Yeah.
Yep, that's
was
the one.
Was the Simple Life before that?
No,
Simple Life was after that.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. All right, here's a serious question from Alicia Lewis. What's the scariest thing you've ever lived through? For me, it was a hurricane in Florida when I was young. Scariest thing you've ever lived through. Damon Moore, you have some?
Yeah, building fire. It was crazy. We lived in a building that was only two stories high, four units,
mm-hmm.
eight units, four on each floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was late at night, and I remember my dad waking me up, and he had to carry me through the smoke that was billowing through the entire hallway. And the crazy thing was, is when all the firemen put out all the fire stuff,
mm-hmm.
they found only one thing that survived in the unit down below that was engulfed in flames.
Mm-hmm.
Engulfed?
Engulfed in...
Yeah.
The Bible.
Stop it.
And I ain't a religious man, I'll tell you what.
Wait, so what happened to your unit, where you and your dad live?
Oh, all the juice stuff burned.
It was engulfed yeah. in flames?
Yeah, just scorched dreidels scorched. Everywhere.
Nothing survived. Sorry, guys.
They actually blamed it on the menorah.
There's a lot of smoke damage, and my dad, of course, went through the insurance and claimed things that we never had.
Oh, no. Like what? Wow. Do you remember anything?
Well, we had there was a brand new TV.
Yeah. Our van.
I parked it right here in the living room, right next to our 27-inch Zenith.
Yeah. Oh, geez. I don't know.
Scariest thing you've ever lived through.
I will say this. I don't know when it was. I was young. And we were living in Montreal at the time. So it would have been, I guess it would have been about six, maybe something like that. Six yeah. or seven, younger than Roxy is now. And my parents had these friends and we used to go to their house all the time. And I remember it so distinctly because he dealt, his business was hides. Like he,
huh? Leather.
No, like skins. Like you would go to his house and there was like zebra on the walls and like stuff wow. like this. Like he was an importer.
Okay.
Or whatever. I don't even know.
An exporter.
And, he was like a real big guy and I knew he used to drink a lot because he used to smell like booze because my dad never drank, right? So when somebody smelled like they drank, I really, really, really remembered it as being just like a different smell of a guy. And my parents were friends with them. And I remember one night I was lying in bed and my mom came running into the room and she grabbed me and my brother and she put us both in the same bed and she sat between us. And I guess this guy got drunk one night and started getting violent with his wife. And his wife got in the car and left and came to our place.
Oh, my God.
And so my parents let her in. And then this guy showed up at the house and started trying to kick down the front door.
Oh, geez.
And where our bedroom was like a tiny, it was a little back split. So you walked up three stairs to sort of get to the main level. And our bedroom was right at the top of the stairs. So listening to this guy yell, "Give me back my wife," while kicking, trying to kick down the door.
Oh my God.
And I just remember it, like just hearing this banging sound and hearing this guy just screaming through a door at the top of his lungs. That he wanted his wife back. And then I just remember my dad saying, "If you come through that door, you're going to the hospital."
Ooh.
And I remember hearing like just bang, bang, bang. And then it was just like a crush sound. Like there was just something, it was like something breaking and something hitting something that shouldn't have been hitting something. And then it all just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad came into the room and he told my mom everything was fine. And then I just sort of sat there. My mom just sat with us and read us a book and everything else and didn't really talk about it. And then I woke up the next morning and when I went down to the door, the bottom of the door was crushed open from this guy kicking it.
Yeah.
And then lying beside the door was like a 6-foot piece of 2x4.
Oh my God.
And I don't know what happened to this day. I don't know what my dad did to this guy. But all the noise,
something with a 2x4.
All the noise just suddenly stopped, and everything,
you never asked,
and everything just went quiet. No, I was 7.
Yeah, you know what? Even right? Still, I wouldn't ask. Even as yeah. growing up as an adult,
yeah.
I still wouldn't ask. And all those, I wouldn't want to know.
I know he messed them up, right?
Yeah,
like he messed the guy up. Like, and I don't know if he did some of it in the house or just dragged him out to the street and beat him with wood. I don't know what happened to this
yeah.
man, but I know that he never showed up again. They never spoke about him again. We never spoke about that night ever again. I just remember the sound of somebody trying to break into the house.
Damn.
And then he was just gone. And I don't know. And I don't know what happened, but I remember that now. And there was a smell, something that had, like, I just remember there was a smell, a very distinct smell that night. I don't know what was going on. We're tarring a
like
road outside
alcohol?
Or something like that. I don't know. But every now and then I'll drive by somewhere and I can smell that smell. And it just reminds me,
oh,
and it reminds
boy.
Me, it reminds me of that night that,
really?
I don't know, my dad messed somebody up with a 2x4 one night.
Scariest thing you've ever lived through. I would say, I think it was like 2001.
Yeah.
Maybe I got like super, super sick. I don't know what happened, but I woke up and like I legit couldn't feel my legs.
Oh,
and
really?
My parents had to take me to the hospital and they ran all these tests. And I remember I was like in and out. They gave me something and I was in and out
Can
of
I
sleep.
Can I ask a question? When
yes.
you say you couldn't feel your legs, as in like you had no feeling in them or you
yeah.
couldn't move them?
I couldn't move them. I
oh,
was
you,
like,
you had lost, you lost
yeah.
use of
so
your legs.
So I like screamed out to my parents and they took me to the hospital right away.
Yeah.
And there was talks of like spinal meningitis
oh,
or something
Jesus.
Because I was having these like weird feelings from my waist down and like
yeah.
even in my hands were tingly. And then they kept me in the hospital for like 3-4 days. I slowly got feeling back. And then I was fine. And I was like, well, what happened? They were like, we have no idea.
So that's even worse than finding out something did happen.
But
right?
like I had went to sleep with feeling, woke up, there's no feeling. 3 days later, had feeling again. And nobody could tell us what the hell happened.
Roz mm-hmm. is right. That's worse. Because if they can't tell
yeah.
you what it was.
Then you just wonder
is,
if it's going to happen again.
And it hasn't happened since.
That's so weird. Could it have been like, I don't know anything. I don't know how this stuff works, but could it have been something as simple as like a pinched nerve?
Maybe, you know,
It's, you know, what's interesting with this kind of stuff where you can have these ailments your whole life. My mom suffered from massive debilitating headaches her whole adult life, like really her whole, and she went for test after test after test after test and just brain scans, like all this stuff that you go through. And then it was years later when she was, I guess in her 50s, she went to the dentist. That she's been going to the dentist her whole life. And one particular dentist did an x-ray of her mouth, and he looked and he saw that one of her teeth in the back of her jaw was sitting on a nerve. And he went in and fixed it. And my mom never had those headaches again.
That's interesting.
Really?
It was a tooth problem, not a head problem.
Oh, wow.
I get massive headaches in the same spot daily.
Yeah.
And they call them ice pick headaches. I'm going to the dentist.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what it was. It was a tooth problem and not a head problem.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Is that what you call thinking headaches more when you get those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, can I go back to one real quick?
Yeah.
Just while you're sitting there. When we were talking about, because I can't stop thinking about what's the one TV show that you think changed an era of television, and you can only pick one. Only pick one. I was leaning on Survivor because it was so monumental. I'm going to change my answer, and I'm going to go and I'm going to pick one television show that changed many eras of television shows, and that's MTV's The Real World.
Dude, can I tell you, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah. There would be no Big Brother without MTV's The Real World. No.
And there would be there wouldn't be a lot of shows without Real World.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know if there would even be Survivor without Real World, to be honest with you, because it's based on taking people from all different walks of life, putting them together and finding out how they do. They just add the island aspect to it as opposed to a house.
Why didn't Real World take off on television back when it was out? Because it was out for like seasons and seasons and seasons before these other reality shows came in, and it really kind of like propelled everything else.
It did. It's just we didn't get it in Canada.
Maybe that's why.
Because
It wasn't available in Canada.
The topics they talked about, like there was somebody that had and died of AIDS
There was a season of The Real World. I remember this. It was a front page story in the New York Times because at that point, the sort of conversations that producers were having was, how do you intervene if you see something going wrong? Because they were like, you're filming something and somebody's drunk and somebody's like sexually assaulting her. Do you step in or do you not? And there was one girl named Ruthie on the show who was a wild binge drinker and partier, and she would put herself in some really questionable situations on the show, and producers weren't intervening. And I believe it was that she was the first character on Real World out of all those seasons that they did where they had to have production step in while filming, and it had never happened before.
Damn.
And it sort of changed everything after that point in The Real World. But The Real World was the show that really started everything when it comes to reality television.
Yeah.
Right?
Every week, you'll see us post on Instagram at Kiss925 a picture that reads Ask Roz and Mocha. That's where you get to ask these questions, as serious or as stupid, as silly as they are. Feel free. We'll try to answer as many as we can on a future episode. Plus, get one of you to ask your question live with us.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Powered by Air Transat. Catch the guys live weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
Kiss925.com
or download the Kiss925 app.